It's finally official. House District 34 has a new representative. And an effort to make fishermen a little safer gets a big recognition. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. It's been nearly a month since Election Day, and the race for House District 34 has finally come to an end, with a four-term legislator losing his seat to a political newcomer. After a recount in Juneau on Monday, Republican Representative Bill Thomas of Haines has lost his state House seat to Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Only 32 votes out of more than 8,000 separate the two candidates. Christ Tompkins was in Juneau to observe the recount and said it was tedious.
Well, it was watching 8,232 pieces of paper being fed into optical scanner machines.
But the Democrat wasn't nervous. It seemed apparent a couple weeks after the election, when the bulk of the absentee ballots were counted, that Christ Tompkins would maintain a lead. A final vote count of overseas ballots solidified his win, followed by certification of the election. But the difference of votes between the candidates was still less than half a percentage point, within the range for a state-funded recount. Thomas waited until the deadline on November 28th to officially ask for a recount. Both candidates picked up a handful of votes during Monday's count, but the final tally did not change the outcome. Christ Tompkins' final vote count is 4,130 to Thomas's 4,098. The winner said the recount finally closes a book on the drawn-out election.
This is the point of punctuation on the election, and it's a relief to have a sense of finality with the whole episode.
Thomas said he was not surprised by the outcome of the recount.
You know, it's good to have it resolved and be done with.
Thomas signaled in recent weeks that he knew a recount would not likely change the election outcome. Staff was already packing up his legislative office on Main Street in Haines, although it won't officially close until mid-January. But he also said despite his first reaction the day after the election, when he said he would not run for office again, he said Monday he will leave that possibility open. He said he's interested in getting into fish politics, and we'll see where that leads. And unlike some of his off-the-cuff remarks toward Christ Tompkins the day after the final vote count, Thomas offered more practical advice to his opponent on Monday.
You know, yeah, I wish him good luck. You know, he's going to need it, and I want to know how he's going to fund all these projects. But you know, campaign promises are hard to keep.
Christ Tompkins said he's been hiring staff and gearing up for his move to Juneau. He said while the recount is the end of the election, he's still anxiously awaiting his swearing-in on January 15th to begin his term as representative for House District 34. An effort to make Haines commercial fishermen a little safer was recognized last week at the Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle. National Fisherman Magazine awarded Haines resident Randa Szymanski with its Lifesaver Award, part of the magazine's Boats and Gear Awards it gives each year at the Marine Expo. Szymanski organized the Richard Boyce Memorial Fund this summer after the local fisherman fell overboard on July 4th. He was not wearing a flotation device. But longtime friends Randa and Jim Szymanski coordinated the fundraising effort to buy flotation gear for every commercial vessel in the Haines fleet. Within 2 weeks, the effort raised $31,000. National Fisherman Magazine Editor-in-Chief Jessica Hathaway said the magazine had heard about the effort and immediately thought it was the perfect recipient for the award.
We have lots of people in the industry who are doing really great things for fishermen's safety and making great strides, but this was a great opportunity to give it to someone who is not doesn't have a career in commercial fishing safety, but just did it out of the goodness of her own heart and for local fishermen, it's just a great story.
With the funds raised, Szymanski coordinated the purchase of two pairs of inflatable suspenders for each commercial boat in Haines. Each one was embroidered with In Memory of Richard Boyce. There were enough funds to also purchase Throw Life ring bags for each of the more than 100 boats in the fleet. The remaining money went to the Kids Don't Float program, which provides free life vests to children at the Haines Harbor. Szymanski is on the East Coast and wasn't able to attend the Seattle event in person to pick up her award, but said it was recognition for the entire community.
Enormous thanks to the community, you know, for making the project a success.
Haines fisherman Norm Hughes accepted the wood and steel placard for Szymanski. He told the crowd at the expo that Haines lost two fishermen this year, which has made the community keenly aware of fishing safety.
And even if you're wearing flotation, it's still a risk on the seas. and we just started to try and secure a better safety in our fleet. We thank you.
The effort was mostly well received by local fishermen, who said they appreciated the response by the community. Hathaway, during the award presentation, read a quote from a local fisherman.
Fisherman Terry Party summed it up by saying, "I never wore a life vest before, but if some stranger cared enough about me to donate this, by golly, I'm going to wear it now."
You can find pictures of the award presentation on our KHNS News Facebook page. Special thanks to John Hagen for help with this report. The Hainesboro School Board and Hainesboro Assembly will meet in joint session on Tuesday evening to discuss legislative priorities for 2013. The two groups will specifically discuss major maintenance or construction projects that have been identified, according to School Superintendent Michael Beyer. The Major Maintenance Planning Committee came up with 6 projects it sees as priorities. The committee includes the borough manager, mayor, and facilities director, along with the school superintendent, school board president, and school maintenance staff. The project list includes the replacement of the high school locker rooms and mechanical systems, replacement of the high school air handling unit, mechanical upgrades to the vocational education building, and a roof survey and assessment of the high school. There are 2 projects identified for the Mosquito Lake School, including a new sprinkler system and air handling replacement. The school board and assembly meet together at 6:30 Tuesday evening, with a regular school board meeting planned immediately following. Both meetings are in the high school open area. Pacific halibut stocks show some signs of responding to several years of cuts to the commercial catch. That's the good news, according to scientists with the International Pacific Halibut Commission. The bad news is more cuts could be coming for next year. The IPHC met in Seattle last week and heard reports on halibut fisheries in the U.S. and Canada and an assessment of halibut numbers in the Pacific. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The IPHC recommends annual catch limits for halibut fishing fleets in the western U.S., Alaska, and British Columbia. Declining halibut stocks have meant big reductions in the commercial catch.
And what this is indicating to me is that the scientific results, whether based on models or data, have all been showing a strong decline in the stock over the last decade, and that management's responded very closely to that information.
That's Ian Stewart, an IPHC scientist who outlined historical catch levels and stock estimates at the commission's interim meeting in November. Scientists have been concerned that past estimates of halibut numbers and corresponding harvest rates have been set too high. That, they say, contributed to the declines. Stewart described a graph that noted some good news about stock numbers this year.
The stock was declining under a period when we think, in retrospect, the harvest rate was above the target. And that, given that if we've selected a target that's quite reasonable, that's what we would expect to happen when we harvest in excess of the target, that the stock would decline. What's important and what's cause for optimism here is that we see the 2012 point and backing up to 2011 that's connected to it and the point above it, we see that as that harvest rate has been brought down toward the target, the decline in the stock has actually slowed and even reversed slightly in 2012. So again, that's good news.
Despite that good news, commercial catch levels in many of the areas may not be headed upward anytime soon. Stewart told the commission that scientists are still not seeing large numbers of young fish growing to commercial catch size. Because of the commission's concerns over the uncertainty of halibut stock assessments, the staff this year changed the way it presents its catch recommendations. Instead of proposing single numbers for catch levels in each area, Stewart outlined a chart that showed a range of coastwide harvest options. One option, highlighted by a blue line, would allow a total commercial catch of 22.7 million pounds. That would be a 33% reduction overall. Under that blue line option, Southeast Area 2C would be going up by about 500,000 pounds. Other areas like 3A and the Central Gulf of Alaska would see a drop of more than 2.5 million pounds under that scenario. But that's just one possibility. As part of the new format this year, staffers offered alternatives that ranged from no fishing coastwide to much higher harvest rates, which could lead to bigger reductions in future years. Commission Chair Michael Pearson of Canada asked for some clarification from IPHC Director Bruce Lehman.
I think it'd be fair to say, Bruce, it's not as if the staff is saying to us, our view is you must choose, not must choose, that you should be choosing the blue line. Is that correct to say, Ian? And
I think the best statement you made, Mr. Chairman, was that this represents simply the application of the current harvest policy to the results of the 2012 assessment.
Pearson also noted the need for a better explanation of why additional catch reductions are needed in light of some of the positive data.
So on the one hand, that kind of information is saying things look like they're getting better. But on the other hand, and people will nonetheless, regardless, focus on the blue lines, saying they're still talking about a possible reduction of 40% in the catch. So I think there's going to be some need for people to have a better understanding of how to reconcile what seems to be contradictory information. I know you've tried to do that, but I suspect there may be need to further think that through this so people fully understand.
Pearson also asked for more information about the various alternatives and what they could mean for catch levels in each of the regulatory areas. That information could help the commissioners make their decision on the commercial halibut catch during the IPHC annual meeting in late January in Victoria, British Columbia. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.